Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, we welcome back Michael, a previous guest, and we had such a great conversation last time that I just wanted him back on because I enjoyed it. I was taking a lot away from that. And I know he gives huge value to the audience as well. So we're going to be talking about self-confidence, mindset, habits, and systems. So we're going to be continuing our conversation from last time. Just a quick introduction to Michael, in case this is the first one you're tuning in to him with. So Michael is a California realtor with a passion for fitness and mindset coaching. He grew up in the Bay Area. He teaches positive daily habits that lead to success through repetition. And some of the things we may be saying today are going to be a repeat. And I always say to people that you don't truly know something until you're living it and you're breathing it and it's in your system. So sometimes you need to hear things multiple times. And I used to be in that point when I was like, I heard it before. But we wanted to expand the conversation. So welcome back to the show, Michael.
Glad to be here, Johnny.
Well, it's glad to have you back as well. So, yeah, Michael, we've obviously met you. We've come across you before. But first one I wanted to really touch on today in this conversation really is, can you tell me about the importance that systems, or maybe it's not been so important, that systems, having systems in place, have been in your life?
Yeah, any goal that's achieved needs a system or a plan to achieve it. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're doing. So to live life kind of aimlessly and then wonder why you're not getting to where you want to be, you know, that's the problem. It you need to have systems for everything. There's a reason why there's, you know, directions when you open up a product, right? It has a system on how to use it, thus being able to use it properly. Same thing for your life. You have to design your life in a way that you can repeat that every single day in order to find success. Also in order to track your results, right? So, or track your progress. So if you did the same thing you did yesterday, but today you didn't get as far, well, you know, okay, I need to push a little harder tomorrow.
I love it. And I wanted to touch on the tracking the results. I find fascinating. And is it something, do you track your results in like one area or multiple areas? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, in multiple areas. I mean, like in real estate, one of the things that I do in my practice is door knocking. And so by tracking those results, i.e. the number of doors that I knock, and then how many like contacts I make, and then of those contacts, how many of them I convert into a lead or actually an actual sale. Over time, I can see, okay, if I knock 1,000 doors, I can get 40 leads and maybe get 2 sales, right? So I know next time I go knocking, that's my goal, is to knock 1,000 doors if I want to get 2 leads. Or if I want to get 4 converted leads, I can knock 2,000 doors. And you know, these numbers aren't exact, but it's a great way to goal set. You know, and so I do the same thing in the gym as well. You know, I don't, people always ask me, do you change your routine all the time? And the answer is no. I find a routine that works for my body, that feels good. And then I track my weights and I track my exercises every single week. And I progressively get better and better and better.
Like that. Yeah. Both in a professional business capacity and in a personal health one as well. And right. You know what? I was just running before this, and I was thinking about this as well in my head, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, people who generally do well in an area, whether they're sometimes consciously aware or not, have usually demonstrated to me they've got some kind of system in place. And a silly example I can think of, not a silly example, I guess, in some respects, is like, you know, like dating when people are going out there and meeting someone. And it's like, I've dated everyone. Have you really? So it's like crazy things like that. Like people have got systems, are they kind of really tracking what's going on? And yeah, I mean, I've heard like, if we go back to health again, like, you know, the numbers don't lie. So yeah, I really like how you're tracking it in multiple areas.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you know, even to talk about dating, right? When I'm married now, but when I was single, you know, the stuff, this is something I actually had to study. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Coach Corey Wayne.
One of the things he said
is, you know, you got to get through the no's to get to the yeses, right? And, you know, when you're trying to work on self-improvement and you're dealing with other factors that aren't part of the numbers, and that's what makes it complicated for people to see through, you know, but at the same time, when you have the numbers, that's kind of an anchoring point that gives you some sense of security. So he used to say, I think 100 or what was it? Like 90 no's will lead to like 10 yeses. So out of 100 people, there might be 10 girls that kind of like you. And then out of that 10, then maybe like 3 of them will really like you. So it's just a numbers game.
I like that in different areas. So I guess like what we're saying here, or I'm certainly thinking here, is whatever area of life, just think about your system. And that's something that's personally worked for you. It's just something to reflect on rather than leaving it to chance. And I've certainly found that in getting into sales in the last 6 months. That's the vital thing. You know, your KPIs, your key performance indicators and everything like that. It's like, what are you actually doing? And every time I speak to the business owner, like or one of the people I'm collaborating with, it's like, oh, okay, I see the numbers. And, you know, then you can see where you want to improve by trying it by chance as well.
Well, you know, being in this field, we're mostly in, I guess you could say, like right-brained, we're, you know, very emotional, and it's more of like our feminine side to talk about psychology and emotion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you combine the numbers with that, I think that's your ultimate power. You're using your brain at its full potential. But if you stay on one side in either respect, mm-hmm. like you're not going to be successful, because you need to understand both sides in order to progress.
Is there a way you found, like we've been talking about the logic, and then you were talking about the emotion side as well. Were you able to find like a balance between them? How have you been able to do that?
So in my experience, just personally, I think everybody starts out with like a base that they're good at. In other words, you may be born more logic brain, and so that's what you are at your base, or you're more emotionally based. And so for me, I started out more emotionally based, and then I started to, like, I guess, have failure in that regard. Like I couldn't progress in life that way. And then so I switched and I started thinking a lot more logically, and I kind of like shut out the emotion. And I did that for a while, again, not finding success thinking that way. And so it's kind of like a pendulum, right? And as I started to realize, okay, well, it's not working to be one way, it's not working to be the other way, maybe I'll try a little bit of both, you know, and try to incorporate those both together. And this just happened over time, naturally, by trying one and failing at one and trying the other and failing at the other. And it's just studying it and understanding it in practice. Practice is the biggest thing that most people don't do. You have to actually apply the stuff that you learn.
Yeah, very key. It's something always emphasizing on this podcast, to not just go, oh, that feels good, oh, I feel good now. You've actually got to do something, even if it's a small little action. So
yeah.
Thank you for emphasizing. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I like Yeah, it's like, so it's not about dismissing one or the other. You got the right and left hand brain, but for you, you found you sort of got that balance over time, but you started off a bit more emotional based. Okay, yeah, no, that's great. I love that. So for you, like personally, or like people you've seen or worked with, in terms of maybe tracking some of this stuff. Like actually I'll have a getting on, whether it's your personal professional life, whether we're talking about health, we're talking about dating, whether we're talking about things like our business, or like be the realtor and like knocking on doors or sales, speaking to people. Some people might see that kind of as a little bit, like I know I have in the past, so I just want to get your take on it, a little bit boring, a little bit like boring to be in that sort of like disciplined way. How do we start to overcome that?
So there's always like this barrier with anything that you're trying to do, right? And what I tell my son, I say this to my son a lot, in order to get something you want, you're going to have to do something that you don't want to do. And you'll find this throughout every area of your life. Like I mentioned door knocking earlier, that's something that scared the hell out of me. And it still does. Like every door, and people don't believe me because I do it, but in order to get something that I want, which is build relationships with the community and, you know, ultimately get sales, get listings, and you know, make a career out of this, I have to knock doors. I have to face that fear. And so the boring part, you know, it's just as bad as a fear. I mean, you're avoiding something that you don't want to do, but in order to get what you want, you have to do that thing. So once you accept that, I believe that can help you get through it. Also, you know, you have to build some type of momentum when you're getting into anything. And so things like writing stuff down might seem, I don't know, it might seem hard at first, but once you do it for a few days, it's like brushing your teeth. It's not a big deal. I mean, brushing your teeth's boring, right? But we have to do it because we want to have good breath. So we do it every day, you know?
Yeah. Just getting into momentum a little bit and, accepting it. And, like, do you think... And I think what we touched on last time a little bit is some of the challenges can be, forgive me if we didn't, but like we touched on sometimes we may start too strong and it's like you haven't been to the gym for, and I thought this is an important point, but you haven't been to the gym for like months and months and months. And then you start new year and it's like, I'm going to go for 2 hours a day. So it's, you know.
Right. Right. And so back to like what I was saying earlier about momentum, you know, you don't like a race car driver doesn't get into his car and like put it straight into, you know, fifth gear. You know what I mean? I mean, think about that. Like you have to start from first gear, second, third, fourth, and then ultimately get to fifth. And that's what you're doing when you're starting a new routine. You're just, I think I said to you last time on the show, like, the clients that are just having such a hard time, like just show up to the gym, go walk around and check it out. Just create the habit of driving there and getting there at a time that works for you. More importantly, in the beginning of the day, so you start your day off with good momentum, but get in the habit of just going there, right? And that may be the first step or gear number one for somebody. Gear number one for somebody else might be just like a basic lifting routine, something of that sort, right? And this is just up to me and the client to figure out, but ultimately it just leads, I mean, it's just like a step-by-step process, right? Like I give another analogy of a ladder. If you need to go to the second story of a home, you don't somehow jump to the 20th rung on the ladder, right? You have to climb rung by rung to get there. That's just how everything works in life. If you try to do that, you're not going to be successful. You might do it once, I mean, obviously not, you're not going to jump to the 20th rung, but you get what I'm saying, right? It's not going to happen. And you're going to get deterred from doing it if you try to do that. So you go step by step, you build that momentum, thus you get motivation to continue on and do it. Versus the other way, like you said, you go to the gym for 2 hours, right? And then you're so freaking sore the next day, you're like, I'm not doing that again. You know, I need to rest now because I'm so sore. And then a rest day turns back into, oh, well, I'm not going to go to the gym today because I'm too sore again, you know, and it just becomes this habit of not going again because you are already in that habit.
So, yeah, Michael, with like talking about self-confidence in obviously like your habits and your systems, like what do you find it does for people's confidence when they, it may sound obvious, but what does it do for their confidence when they start off really, really, you know, do these big things versus doing these little bits of momentum that keep consistently?
So the big thing might seem like it's like that shiny object, you know, it seems like a good thing to do at first. And then your confidence gets lowered because, you know, the feeling that you get inside the next day when you go to do it, you're like, oh my God, like it becomes this big, scary thing, you know, versus the small thing. You're slowly stacking wins. And that this is what my coach taught me, right? So if you break a big goal up into small pieces, you get that, it essentially you're getting a dopamine rush from completing each small task, right? Thus gaining momentum by building motivation to do it again and again and again. So that's why I recommend doing small tasks versus just trying to take it all in one bite.
I like it as well, that approach and building momentum and also praising myself when I do something.
Right.
Speeds up.
Yeah, because and that's, you know, in real estate, we do this as well, right? It's like, you know, that's why we track it. You track, like I'm going after 1,000 doors, right? Okay, well, even if I get nothing out of that 1,000 doors, I knocked 1,000 doors, you know, I knocked 1,000 doors. And every single door, I face my fear of talking to a new person and interacting with a new person and, you know, dealing with my own inner monologue that's telling me I'm disturbing this person or whatever you might be thinking, you know. And so, you know, you've conquered that massive goal door by door. And yeah, it just feels good. And so the next time you have a project or you want to go do something like that, it doesn't feel as scary because, you know, like if I got to knock 50 doors before an open house or something like that, it's like no big deal. I've knocked 1,000 doors. I used to knock 50 doors a day. You know, it's not a big deal. So it's like you said, it's about praising yourself for the small things, building that momentum, which ultimately will lead to success in the end.
Yeah. I like what you said there as well. And if we talk about, because sometimes results, right, they take a bit of time to come to, excuse me, results, some, I was choking a bit there or something, but yeah, results sometimes take a bit of time to get to us. Like if you, you know, like working out, talking about like health and fitness, you see it why people sort of like bail because they're not seeing results immediately or like it's too hard. There can be various reasons, of course.
Right.
But like with that approach, do you, we talk about instant versus delayed gratification, you know, the term sort of thrown about quite a bit in the personal growth world.
Right.
Do you find it's quite a good way to get instant gratification by praising yourself for your internal efforts?
It actually is, you know, and I do think instant gratification is demonized in a way in this space, but this is the way that you get that instant gratification in a positive way is by tracking those small habits that you're doing and being able to say, okay, I did this, you know, and then you get the feel good feelings from it. and thus you want to continue, versus the person that tracks nothing and all they're doing is looking in the mirror and looking at their scale, right? And like you said, it takes a while for the stuff to work. So if those are your only two metrics that you're tracking, you're not going to be very satisfied. So tracking all metrics that you can is what's going to give you that, the instant gratification that really we all want. We all want to see some type of results. And the cool thing is, especially when it comes to like weightlifting or even doing your cardio and stuff, is the body adapts fairly quickly. Physical changes don't happen as quickly, but the actual adaptation, like in terms of, you know, being able to walk a little further, lift a little bit more, do a little bit more reps, that stuff happens pretty quickly, especially when you haven't trained at all. You're like a new trainee. So that's why it's important to track that stuff. So you can see, wow, I did 3 or 4 more reps than I did last week. Oh, I walked, you know, a half a mile more, or I walked 5 minutes more than I did last week. It feels good. Like you really accomplished something.
Mm. Yeah. Like it. And it's like within our control as well. Right. Which is the extra bonus that I really like.
Right.
About that. Yeah. I mean, the other day I had a horrendous day of making calls. So it's like, you know, people weren't picking up, people weren't responding. Most of them didn't speak the English language. Not sure why they went on the, were in the funnel, but anyway, you know, it's the courses avatar and all sorts. And, you know, I referred them to my Spanish speaking colleague, but then one person was like, called me a moron, even though they'd asked for information. And, you know, like so I was just reaching out, you know, it's obviously, I don't know, some kind of error there, but, you know, it's, like the thing is, what the message behind that, I guess, for me that I wanted to share, like to you listening, is like I was just patting myself on the back for the effort I was making, like all those calls in the day. And it was like, well done, I did what I said I was going to do. And that built confidence, rather than, oh no, I didn't get any results today. I didn't get anyone, you know, on board our program. And that for me is felt really good knowing that I had the confidence from my own effort that I was completely in control of. So I think it's really important that the share of people today, because we're not in control of the external world all the way.
No, we're only in control of we're only in control of ourselves. And once you accept that, I think a lot of these fears that we have kind of start to dissipate. Like you have to really accept that you can only control yourself. But then there's an empowerment feeling that you get, like, okay, well, I can actually do a lot for myself. You know, I can control what I eat, I control what I watch, I control what I listen to. And these things all produce results over time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to anything, you have to have like long view, you have to have, you know, like for investments, right? It's like you don't invest something and then all of a sudden, you know, you have a dividend coming in right away. Like that just doesn't happen. You have to invest over a long period of time. Similarly with self-improvement, you put into yourself over and over and over every day. And, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, you'll be a completely different person. So you just have to have that long view and stop thinking so short-sighted, if that makes sense. So like for you, you made all those calls, right? All you're doing is practicing. You're just one call away from that person that's going to sign up. You just have to keep pushing and you're just going to get better and better talking on the phone. And eventually you're going to connect with somebody. You guys are going to vibe and there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally agree with, you know, it's not always going to come straight away. And the dividend was a good example as well. It's like, I like some of your analogies and other examples you're using today. It's a really good way of demonstrating it. A couple more things really that I wanted to touch on. So one thing I wanted to ask you was about, like, we can go through, like, we're mostly on like autopilot and we're like rush, rush, rush through the days. And, you know, sometimes things we do automatically are good for us. Sometimes they're not so good for us. Has there been any kind of habit or system you've used to like slow down at all and help you reflect?
Yeah, I would say for me, something that I've dealt with for many years is racing thoughts. And I don't know if I discussed this on the last podcast, but I discovered something recently called brain dumping. And it's really just, you know, for me, a person that has these racing thoughts, just, you know, you're always thinking about like the next thing, you know, and just writing it down, writing everything down that's on your mind and just putting it in a notebook, just having a notebook specifically for this. Like it doesn't even have to make sense. And a lot of times it doesn't, you know, because we're thinking of a thousand different things. So I just write everything down on there, and it's almost as if, you know, I'm popping my skull open and I'm just grabbing all this stuff and just putting it in this notebook. And now I don't have to deal with it anymore. But what really ends up happening is it sorts everything out. It's essentially what you're trying to do in the first place while you're thinking of all this stuff. But nothing kind of gets done because it's just in your head. So by putting it on physical paper, the stuff that needs to be done is in the physical world anyway. So you're already taking that first step by putting it in the physical world and taking it out of your head. And I've found for me, that allows me to slow down and be able to be in the present moment. And of course, on another note, you know, you mentioned meditation a lot, practicing focusing on your breath. You know, when you're racing through life like that, and you're just kind of going from thing to thing in autopilot, I find that I'm not really breathing fully into my gut. And so breathing fully into your gut, into your groin, like most people probably haven't even felt that, where you take a deep breath and it goes all the way into your groin. That's a real breath, you know, and when you focus on that, it really brings you into the present moment. I mean, you're still, and you're focusing on you only. And again, talking to you about my push-ups from the last podcast, that brings you into the present moment. Intense exercise, that's all you can focus on is the now when you're doing intense exercise.
Cold shower.
So that's pretty good. What's that?
Cold shower. That's an
experience. Oh, yeah. You're not thinking about anything else if you're in the cold shower.
You are not. And intense exercise. Not recently. It's kind of, I've done it in the past, but it's just you know, it's one of those. Definitely brings you into the present. Watch a bit of Wim Hof. But yeah, intense exercise can as well. That's, kind of even for me there, it's just realizing, well, you feel like so good after it because you're just really connected. Not this, you're in the moment, you might be like in a little bit of temporary pain, let's say, but
right.
But it's like definitely brings that presence. And massive, massive fan of breath work. Huge fan. Like it's something probably in the last few months that I've got into, really. In fact, I've actually asked one of the masters from the breath work that I do to come on as well. So hopefully we can do a whole episode on breath work as well. But glad it's you know, you saying it's something that helps really ground you.
It does. It does. You know, like when people talk, I'm sure you've heard people talk about they can't stop their mind from racing when they're trying to meditate. You know, and my response to that is something that I've heard from, I think it was Sadhguru. I don't know if you are familiar with his work. Yeah. He said something along the lines of, you know, can you get your heart to stop beating? You know, can you stop breathing? It's like, these are functions in your body that need to happen in order for your body to be alive. So your brain, doing what it does, asking it to stop is like asking your heart to stop. So just accept it, that that's just what's going to happen. But I found that when you focus on your breath during meditation, that you're not focused on the thoughts, like they might be happening, but you're focused on your lungs, you know? And so it doesn't matter that your brain is chitter chattering, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's with the breath, like I was doing just some meditation before this, and then you just like do the breath work and then just sit in silence. I'll do like the 10 sort of rule. It's an exercise I got from a Tony Robbins event, but like it's like a certain amount of count. You do it like 10 reps and then just sitting there. And I do the breath there first for a reason, just to become a bit more present.
Right.
Yeah, powerful technique there. Yeah, so one final question really, Michael, that I wanted to touch on is being able to actually look back at, we talked about the systems and tracking some of the information. Do you regularly or do you not regularly go back and check some of the information you're getting? Is that something you do on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like right now I have a door knocking campaign going in South Livermore, which is, it's an area that's about 15 miles from my house. And so, yeah, I have what I've done is calculated, okay, how many doors are there in this area and how many doors a week do I need to hit to reach my goal by this date, right? So yeah, I have to track weekly. Okay, am I on track to hit my goal at this time, right? So I have to hit 75 doors a week to hit my goal. So like right now, this week I'm gonna start out, what am I at? I think I'm at 150 doors already. So that would put me at 225 by the end of the week.
It's only Monday.
So, what's that?
It's only Monday as well.
Yeah, it's only Monday. But I mean, you would think that's a lot, but it's really not. I mean, again, talking about breaking stuff up into small pieces, right? That's only like 11 doors a day, pretty much. Like it's a little less than 11 doors a day, which is not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as I stay on track to do 11 doors a day, then I'll easily hit my goal. So yeah, track it weekly, I think is the best possible scenario. That's what I do with my training clients. The programs I design, I put them on a weekly program and they're able to look at what they did last week every single day. So whatever they did last Monday, when it comes this Monday, they can see, okay, these exercises, this is what I did. I'm going to try to do a little bit more, whether it's weight or reps or what have you.
I love it. It's not leaving things to chance to let your brain get in and generalize about situations. So yeah, I think that's a really important point. I've definitely been caught up with it myself. Like, oh, I've tried everything. No, I haven't. It's like, yeah.
Well, the thing about the human body is it wants to stay in homeostasis. And I believe that includes the mind as well. And so homeostasis, meaning it wants to stay the same. And so it takes work from you, the individual, to push past your bounds. And so if the same for you is something that you're not, if you don't like it, then you must push yourself past those bounds to be different, because you don't like how you are right now. And that's what your body's trying to be. So it's up to you to push past those bounds.
Great point. So, Michael, really enjoyed another conversation with you. Just before we close out today, is there a final point or maybe a couple of points you wanted to share? And yeah, where can people find you this time?
You can catch me on Instagram. I post every single day. If you want to see what my program is about as far as self-improvement, so my Instagram handle is your_fit_realtor. And then my email is coachmichaelanthony@gmail.com. But yeah, I mean, I would just tell people, realize that any barrier that you're facing when you're trying to improve yourself is being put there for a reason. This isn't by chance. It's being put there as a test. Once you pass that barrier, you'll be able to break through and get to that point where you were trying to be, and you'll hit another barrier. This is just life. Every step is going to have a barrier it's just like a video game. If you're familiar with video games, you have to beat. Yeah, you know, it's just, that's just what it is. Just push past the barrier and you're going to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, there's no end point where you're like, oh, you've mastered it all.
That's it. The goalpost continues to move. That's just life.
Yeah, and it's all about, so we talked a lot about systems and habits today and working with those. So definitely been a great conversation for me. And I know you provide a lot of value, Michael. So thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Awesome. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.